You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work, for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life, for a word in season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. And on fourth Saturdays, Alabaster Box at 7 p.m. with Prophetess Carla Johnson, where she shares a broad range of topics to help believers persevere and overcome. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time. Hey family, join us for our newest broadcast, Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, hosted by Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. The show airs every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This show will cover a wide range of topics. Nothing is off the table because it's all about strengthening the relationship of marriage. So that's Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson, third Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth from relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
All right, let's do our open confession. Holy Spirit, override any obstacles that have hindered me or are hindering me from receiving my freedom in you. I renounce and cancel the effects of receiving any accusations and lies into my mind, body, soul, and heart that is contrary to the truth of who you say that I am. I declare that I live my life loved, cherished, and adored by you. I receive in my heart every expression of your love for me. Because you love me, I am free of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about rules of engagement. How to conquer your enemy. How to conquer the issues that are before you. The type of warfare to use. The type of weapons to use. And I decided that what I was going to do was take you back. Say back. To 1990. How many of y'all was born in 1990? We had a few. Yeah. You was in the womb. I'm going to get there. And so a few weeks ago, well, last week, matter of fact, we was talking about, and I said, made the information very clear. I say, write this down. And what God showed me was there were people that were not writing it down. And as a result of that, he gave me revelation. He says, my word was so important that I wrote it down in the Bible. So if God writes down his plans for our life, who are we not to enter into what he's telling us to do? So with these stages, rules of engagement, I wanted to take you back to 1990 before Jazz was born. So, number one, we talked about what is the issue, right, Audrey? We said, what's the issue? Because in order to get healed of something, we have to find out or to identify what the root cause is. What is the issue that we're dealing with? Because in order to fight a war or be overcomers in a war, we have to know what we're fighting for. So, issue number one in 1990. Look at Benetta looking. 1990. We were renting, okay? We were renting. And then we found out that little Jazz was inside the womb. Say little Jazz. So we couldn't live in an apartment. So we decided we needed to get a house, Miss Bailey. So that was the issue. Now let's look at number two we've been talking about is who or what is involved. And we were talking about how important it is to write these things down. So you need a pad and pencil, just slip up your hand. I know some of you are taking your notes on your iPhone or your phone. But number two, who or what was involved? So this is what I'm asking you to do. So Curly and I are the two that were involved. We had bad credit. Say bad credit. Bad credit. Now, we're going to get a home. We're going to move from an apartment to a home, Janae, with bad credit. That was what was involved. We had no savings. Say no savings. The family couldn't help. How many of y'all's family can help you out? Okay. Well, we got some folk where we knew we couldn't porter, go to our family and say, hey, can you give us, I don't mean lend, give us $5,000 for a down payment. I don't know a whole lot of families that could do that, but I know we could. Then we were on our own. What on your own mean? Is you, Curly, in God, okay? So, baby on the way. Say, baby on the way. This baby was on the way. So, these was number two, who or what is involved. So, now I'm trying to give you an understanding of what you need to put down. So, you don't put down what I put down. You put down what's about your challenge, fair? But it's 1990. All right, now the third one we've been talking about was count the cost. So, you got to count the cost. Because the scripture talks about if you start to build something, Jamal, and you can't finish it, people be laughing at you, okay? So the cost was, our rent was $350 a month. Janae, I see how big your eyes are. How much is your rent now? $1,150. I'm glad we moved when we moved, all right? It was $350 a month. Cheryl, can you believe that? Okay, all right. So the house payment was going to be $600 or more. Now, you guys just keep in mind, now, we're talking about moving from $350 to $600 or more, and then, Reverend Johnson, we're going to have a baby. So there's going to be baby expenses. How expensive is a baby? Everybody say expensive. Okay. You got diapers, you got formula, you got clothes, okay, hair bows, shoes, child care. Okay? That's going to be the double of what we pay, what we were paying in rent. You got me, Cheryl? You with me? Then what about utilities? Because where we were renting, we didn't have to pay utilities. All we had to do was pay the rent, $350. Okay, Reverend Anderson, you hear me? All right? So utilities. So we had to ask around. You know, we knocked on people's doors and you know, we started talking to people. Well, how much you paying for utilities? Well, how much you paying for utilities? And so we wanted to get an idea. I'm just telling you, we count the cost. Then the baby is due in July. Okay? But who would have known other than God that the baby was going to come early, 1 month early? I just finished painting the baby room. Just finished painting the baby room, and then the baby came early. Okay? All right, so then what's next? So where are we going to live? Are we going to live on South Side, North Side, East End? Where are we going to live? So these were the things that we had to count the cost. You follow me? So step one was what? The issue. Step two was what? Who or what is involved? Number three? Count the cost. So we were using these techniques back in 1990. So the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because it was worked in 1990. Guess what it is now? 2018. Okay, you got it? So today we're going to go to number four, and that is make a decision. Because see, after we count the cost, after we figured out who or what was involved, after we figured out what was the issue, then now we got to make a decision with what we found out. Okay? So in Deuteronomy, and you guys, I live and breathe the scripture. Because write this down. Whatever you do today is your future. Whatever you do today is your future. So whatever actions you take, whatever beliefs you have, whatever thoughts you process, that is your future. Because the moment that you're thinking it, that moment has passed. So you're investing in your future with every thought you think, every action you take, every belief you have. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between the blessings and the curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. So we talked about a video, and Miss Sharon found it for us, so I'm going to show it to you. We good with that, Cheryl? And I want the question I'm going to ask you, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, why you my neighbor? How fast can you make a decision?
How fast can you make a decision?
What'd your neighbor say? Immediately. Okay. What did he say?
I kind of like dwell on it.
Dwell on it? Okay. All right. Okay, give me some bites. Give me some hands up. What your neighbor said? I got one right here.
Depends on what I'm making a decision about.
Okay. All right. Depend on. Okay.
I have to give it some serious thought.
Serious thought. Okay. All right. Just two made a decision? So y'all making a decision not to talk, huh? Okay, all right, I got it. Yeah.
I was telling
Reverend Johnson
that it depends. Sometimes it's quick, okay. And sometimes I have to think about it.
Okay.
Have some time to mull it over.
Okay, so give me a quick answer, a quick decision you made.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I ain't putting it on the spot, though.
A quick decision I made.
What are you going to eat? Is that
yeah.
Quick? That's a quick one?
Not sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah, but what I'm going to eat today.
Okay, what you going to eat today? You got, okay. Hey, can I put in a plug right quick? Madeline, my sister, she turned me on to Zaxby's. They got a carb salad. Man, I done ate that three times this week. You know, because it's a lot of places, you know, you try to be eating healthy, and the salad just tastes like you're eating a salad. Yeah, man, this tastes like you're eating a meal. So Zaxby's, y'all make me, what's that lady's name you like? About the Groupon. What's her name? They got a job doing Groupon?
Tiffany.
Yeah, Zaxby's, y'all make me like Tiffany. All right, because I just put in a blurb for you. All right, so I set before you life and death, blessing and curse, and choose life. So I'm choosing these salads two to three times a week, okay? All right, so you ready? How quickly can you make a decision? I want you to notice the guy, as this little girl is walking by, there's a guy standing to the side behind a wall.
All right, we've got something for today. A mom in Pittsburgh, she played a little trick on her daughter, London, but it was all to set up a wonderful surprise. So she told her little girl that her sibling would be getting a new cell phone and not her. Okay, that didn't go over well.
That's not fair!
London.
Okay, that was a setup for the reunion with London's big brother, Markle, who's been away at the U.S. Navy for 6 months. She misses her brother so, but in that one moment, everything was right with the world again.
Big brother, better than an iPhone.
Any day, any day. All right.
So what happened to the anger? Instantly gone. So something was more important than anger. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You can choose life in a second. You can choose life in a second. It doesn't take that long. You can choose to walk in love rather than defeat, rather than anger, rather than resentment. Because, guys, let me give you a psychological fact. I see this is going to amaze you. Okay, you ready for it?
Yeah.
It's been proven from a psychological perspective that when pain is first inflicted, I'm talking about emotional pain, it lasts for 10 to 18 minutes. Anything after that is self-imposed. Okay? All right? It's a psychological fact, not just Pastor Paul saying it, that once pain is inflicted, let's say you find out somebody has passed or you get laid off from your job, that pain initially in your mind only lasts 10 to 18 minutes. Anything after that is self-inflicted. Meaning that you chose it. Well, I'm going to hold on to this, Claudia. I'm going to hold on to this pain. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I'm such and such. I'm such and such. They treated me wrong. They shouldn't have done me like that. I've been faithful to the company. I did this. I did these types of things. They you know, how could they disrespect me? That's self-imposed. That's even death. Okay. Okay, so initially, when pain is first inflicted, meaning that let's say you find out that when I found out that my mom had passed, that pain initially only lasts for 10 to 18 minutes. If it lasts any longer than that, it's self-inflicted, meaning I'm choosing for that pain to stay. Yeah. It's amazing. It's just a matter of thought. It's a matter of what you're holding on to. I got one person back here, and then I got you, Claudia. Will?
Yeah, I thought that the video was pretty cool because she was mad and said a totally kid thing, that's not fair.
Uh-huh.
But then once she saw her brother, immediately she had joy.
Yeah.
So it changed on a dime.
Changed on a dime. Ms. Claudia?
So after the 18 minutes or whatever, you got to think of something good.
You can choose joy.
Like if it's job related, you find out something bad, and then you get thinking about, okay, I can do this and I can do that. You know, they gave me this for
uh-huh.
the.
I got a severance packet, or I was thinking about leaving anyway, or God. Okay, y'all write this down. I'm on a right there move. You got me right there move. Let me check this thing out. This is what God gave me. If it was okay for you to stay there, God wouldn't have called you out of there. If it was okay for you to stay there, then God wouldn't have called you out of there. So if it was okay, Rosalind, for you to stay at your job that you were at, then God wouldn't have called you into another place. Because after all, he knows us. He knows best. So if it was okay for you to stay there, God wouldn't have called you out of there. If you was in that relationship and it's not healthy according to how God sees you, then he wouldn't have called you out of that relationship. If it was okay for you to stay in that addiction, then what God wouldn't have called you out of that addiction. Because he knows the end from the beginning. Question? If it was okay for you to stay there, see, everything about God is growth. Everything that he designed, she was a little fetus. At one time. Look at it now. You follow me? Grass grow, trees grow, everything that he designed grows. Yes, ma'am.
I have an example of like how quickly you can make a decision. So I got a bonus check, I think it was Monday, and the old me would have been like, dang, this is it. But I was like, yes, because okay. I had just put down $600 for a DJ, okay. And then I got my bonus check, and it was that and more. And then God knows how I am with math, so he was like, here you go, boo. This is your tithe right here. So it was perfect. It was like you put that part in the bank, and that part's the tithe, and it was all laid out perfect.
Praise God. When I talk about how quick you can make a decision, so I got a client driving up from Atlanta for a session, and that session is going to last about 4 hours because we're going to make it worth the drive. So I'm going to see you on Friday, and I'm going to see you on Saturday. And so what happened was I just got this phone call that my sister had passed. And so I'm talking about just as she's ringing the doorbell. So I make a decision. My sister has passed. I know she's saved, so I know she's in glory. So at that moment in time, I made a decision quickly. Okay, this lady drove from Atlanta. I need to see her. So I'm on the phone, and I answer the door, and I say, just give me a few moments. I just found out my sister has passed. And she said, oh, no, I can come back. I said, no, you can come in. So I processed the pain in a matter of moments because I had a client that was there. So how long does it take you to make a decision about peace, about rest, about joy, about victory? Some of you are looking at me like, dang, he must didn't love his sister. Now, I love my sister, but I know where she is. You follow me? Okay? All right? So, we're still talking about making a decision. Y'all take a breath on that one. Y'all looking at me funny. I got there.
I tell you something I've noticed over the years. I think it's mainly true of parents, especially mothers. It's like when my mom was living and said we had a little issue with okay. one another. And we might be having a little heated discussion.
Okay.
But if she asked me, say, well, how you feeling? If I said, well, I'm not feeling that good, all of a sudden she forgets all about that conversation.
Okay.
She goes straight into motherhood.
Okay.
Then.
Okay.
So that's how it was like, you know, it's like this. Forget the anger.
Okay.
I gotta look out for my child.
Yeah.
That's the way
it's awesome. Yeah. It's real, guys. We gotta program ourselves that way because if you in pain and they in pain, how you gonna offer comfort? You know, I'm not talking about that fake strong. Y'all know about the fake strong? Well, Chad, Sharon, you just got to be strong for your children. I'm not talking about that. You ball, roll around on the floor, do whatever you got to take. Do. But then once you get up, walk in your heel. Who was it, David? That after a while, was it David? Y'all help me out, scholars. Give him the mic. Give him a mic.
His son was very sick, okay. And he fasted and prayed for like 7 days.
Uh-huh.
And they came to him, they said, the boy has died.
Okay.
And he got up, washed his face, took a bath, whatever, okay. and got something to eat.
Okay.
And they said, we don't understand. You know, the whole time he was still alive, you wouldn't eat or anything.
Okay.
And he said, okay, but now he's gone.
Okay.
It's time to move on.
All right. So don't send me no email, Pastor. You cruel, boy. You tough. I'm just telling you, God wants us in peace. Amen? All right. So we're talking about you make a decision. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all. Whatever you do, if you can't do it to his glory, you shouldn't be doing it. Uh-oh. Right, Eric? If we can't, so when we bought the house, we bought it to his glory. How did we do that? Well, when the people told us that we could afford a $200,000 house, we said, yeah. What do they call it, house poor? We weren't going to move in the house poor, where, you know, you're eating, what do you say? No furniture, eating beans, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Nothing wrong with those things, but that wasn't to God's glory. God's glory is when you can look at something and say, how in the world did that happen? How in the world could that come to pass when we were where we were? You follow me? So whatever you do. Then, under making the decision, you also have to keep in mind, family brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, So whatever you do, once you make a decision, make sure that there's truth in it. Make sure that it has honor built into it. Anybody want to throw one of the issues out and we can run it through the honor test? Yes, ma'am. Coming your way. She's sneaking up behind you.
So we had a business event a couple Saturdays ago.
Okay.
And one of the panelists asked if he could videotape the event, and we told him that he couldn't.
Could not. Okay.
So he brought his son, who he told us was his assistant, and that person attempted to videotape, even though we told him not to.
Okay.
So he sent me an email last night saying, you know, can you send me the link to the video that you all took, because I want to use it to promote myself. 3 times okay. I've wanted to send him an email or call him to let him know how I really felt about him and his business and his life. the Holy Spirit was like, don't do it. Like, I typed it all out, read it out. Like, this is business appropriate, but I want him to know I'm not playing. Okay. Like, I'm very serious. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do it.
Okay. So, Nicole, why do you think he told you not to do it? Hold on. Don't let her answer. Hold on, Nicole. Y'all help her out. Why do you think the Holy Spirit told her not to? And you keep the mic, though. Anybody? You got one up here?
Maybe her response would have been fleshly and there wouldn't have been a testimony in it.
Okay, all right. Maybe her response was fleshly, a testimony. Is there anything in there? Yes. Okay, she said yes, it is. Okay. It's coming your way. It's over here. You never know where they're going to turn up.
I'm saying. maybe God will take care of it because He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, so you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
People address that.
Okay, all right. She said, I don't want to hear that one. I want to take revenge right now.
Just looking at that scripture, maybe what she was saying would have been true, but it wouldn't necessarily have been honorable or worthy of respect.
Okay, all right. So, Nicole, which one? What do you think?
Definitely the last one. All right. It was true.
Okay.
But it wasn't honorable.
Okay.
And he knows that we're Christians. Like, it was 3 different businesses, and it's all Christian owned.
Okay.
And I was like, man, if he only didn't know.
So she just ran through the gamut of that, right? So is it honorable? Is it worthy of respect? Is the decision that you're going to make, is it worthy of respect? When people hear that you made that decision, would they be able to say, well, yeah, I might not understand it, but I can respect it. All right, let's see what else. Whatever is pure and wholesome. Is it wholesome? Was it wholesome for us to get a house? We wanted more space for our family that was growing. Whatever is lovely, this is the key component, and it brings peace. Can the decision that you are about to make, can it bring you peace? Because, Nicole, I had a bricklayer doing a sidewalk outside and the steps. And, you know, he gave me an excellent price, and they had framed everything and poured the concrete, but I didn't know about concrete bubbles, you know, that happen. Like, once you pour the concrete away, you might have little bubbles where they got to fill in the stuff. So the guys looked hungry. You know, it was Friday evening. They had worked hard all day. So, you know, instead of listening to God, you know, I always only hire people that I pay when it's finished. And so I, you know, I'm looking at the guys, and they all lapped over and like, well, you know, Miss Cynthia, I'm gonna go ahead and give him the whole amount of money. I'll see you tomorrow. That's what they say. I'll see you tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is today. Y'all remember that slide, Reverend Johnson? You remember that slide? Tomorrow is today. Well, I ended up having to take 3 truckloads of brick that they had, you know, broken up to the dump because tomorrow was today. So he never came back. And there were 5 people, next door neighbor on my right side, next door neighbor on my left side, that was going to hire this guy based off what he saw, which is the form. So each day they came by and said, well, I see you lifting the bricks now. In other words, I say, don't hire this guy. So I get with my media specialist, Miss Michelle Aiken, and I say, Michelle, I'm like Nicole. I want to bring this brother down. I want him to feel the wrath, the Pastor Pete. I want him to feel it, Sharon. Talking to Michelle, I said, there's a way I can just let people know not to get jacked up like I was. She said, Pastor, you are a known figure now. You're a public figure. That might not be a good idea. Nicole, just so that you'll know, your pastor got issues too. I didn't want to hear what Michelle had to say. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And then I remembered, I got to walk in peace. I got to walk in victory. I got to walk in wholeness. So I decided that I wasn't going to forgive that young man. So I said the forgiveness prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive Billy Bob for causing me to feel taken advantage of, disrespected, dishonored. He had no right to do that. I don't want to hear it, Reverend Johnson, that I know I should have had a contract. I don't want to hear it. So, Father, I forfeit my right to seek revenge or to hold on to any anger, bitterness, or resentment towards this young man. I thank you for healing my damaged emotions. I desire to be loved and to see him through your eyes, through the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. Thank you for healing my damaged emotions. I desire to be changed by your Spirit into the man of God you created me to be. Notice I didn't ask him to change. I had to change. Because we are where we are because that's where we choose to be. I chose to go with somebody like that. Okay? All right? Amen? Y'all see? You with me? All right, so back to what brings peace. So when you make a decision, does it bring you peace? Whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, can you, and I'm going back to 1990 now, can I praise him about the house? Can I praise him about the fact that we had bad credit? Can I praise him about the fact that I don't know how we're going to do this? We're going from 350 to 600 or more. We're going to have a baby. But Father, I'm going to praise you in the fact that we have favor with you. Think continually on these things. But y'all check this out. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. It has to be in your head and in your heart. Starts out in your heart first. That's where it grabs hold. You get a thought, the thought comes up, and then you implant it in your heart and you hold on to that. Once you make a decision, just allow these things to be in operation. If you make a decision and it does not pass the lovely test, the truth test, the bring peace test, the wholesome test, then you might not want to go with it. You know, like people on jobs where, you know, you worked a job for so many years and they say two weeks to turn in your resignation. If it says 2 weeks, then do 2 weeks. You follow me? Everybody got that? We're still talking about making a decision. Michelle?
Okay, I have a question. Okay, so the bringing peace part,
uh-huh.
That's like an inner peace thingy, but suppose you're like having like other thoughts trying to come in that aren't so peaceful. They're mm-hmm. kind of scary mm-hmm. after you've made this decision. That's not saying that the decision was bad. That's something you got to come up against?
Right.
Okay.
Because if God wanted you to stay there, he wouldn't have called you out of there. Okay? So you have prayed and you know that you heard from God. Took me 25 years to say, yes, Lord, I'll be a pastor. Okay? Chris is laughing at me because I ran every way that I could run. But there was a peace about the decision, but then there were thoughts that came along with it. You follow me? So you know what, you guys know what God's voice sounds like, right? You know when he's talking to you. And you know when you accept that call or whatever he's called you to do, there's an internal peace, and then the stuff starts to manifest. Y'all follow me? I got a question right here.
So to piggyback off of Michelle, so you know you made the right decision to become a pastor and to preach the word, but with the decision, there were still challenges that weren't that peaceful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As a pastor, you make decisions every day that doesn't feel right, but it's peaceful.
But you made the right decision, yeah, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. See, I always point to one thing. I only have to answer to one person, that's him. I tell people that in marriage counseling because people come in with this idea. So I know Porter longer than I know you. So if you came in pre-marital counseling, it's automatically given that I'm going to go towards Porter's side. But I tell them in the first session, I say the only person I answer to is him. So you can't bribe me and you can't bribe me. You follow me? Because it's important for people to know. All right? So number one was what? You got to know the issue, identify the issue. Number two, who or what is involved? Number three, count the cost. Number four, make a decision. Can I get a decision? Can I get an issue? Somebody hold this one for me. Yeah, just stand right here. All right, so that's an issue. And can I get somebody to hold a decision? Jamal, come on up and hold a decision. So that's an issue. You come a little further out this way. That's the issue, and this is decision. Once you make a decision, you never go back to the issue. Nicole, you already put your camera up. Okay. All right. No, you're good. You're good. Are you following me? What are they doing back together again? Huh? What are they doing back together? If the issue, we know what the issue is. Y'all want to throw out an issue? I want to make sure you get to understand. If the addiction, that's the issue. He made a decision that he wanted to be free of addiction, that I'm walking away from that. So he moves over here. The issue is over there. He left that behind. So what is he doing going back to the issue if he made a decision to be free? You follow me? And you're moving quite well. You follow me? But guys, that's what we do. We have to make a decision. Never the two shall meet. You got me? Amen? Thank you. Amen. So just give me that issue. Give me that decision. Amen? Yes, ma'am.
No, I
got
a
mic over here.
I was just going to say, because if you go back, then you have to start all over again.
That's exactly right.
And it's, yeah.
Yep.
Is anything in between the issue and decision in that space?
Why you keep trying to put stuff in between?
I just saw something. Now, is it?
What do you see?
I don't know, but it didn't seem.
What's in between, though, is what we just went over. The issue, then who's involved, then what was the other? Count the cost and make a decision. So what's in between the issue and the decision is count the cost and who's involved. Follow me? Everybody got it? Reverend Anderson? Mike coming your way. But I just look at her group and they start moving fast.
I was just sitting there thinking, you know, as soon as you make that decision, you know, the enemy comes in. He's the one that gets in the decision to try to make you doubt
your decision.
What's your decision?
Mm-hmm. The enemy comes and tries to get you to doubt your decision.
Would a good decision build confidence?
A good decision is supposed to build confidence, but let me put it like this. I have people sometimes who come in for counseling. They try to bring me an article on what they think I should be counseling them on. Okay? This is real. I wish I was lying. This is real. And so I say, I'm not going to deal with an assessment about that because the assessment is only good as the person that's healed that's using it. You follow me? So you can make a good decision, but if you're not at a healed place, you will always question the decision that you make. So the decision is right. It lines up with Philippians 4. But if you are undecisive about your decision, you'll always question it. Everybody follow me? So that's why I'm teaching on once you make a decision, you got to stand. See, where we get in trouble is when we contemplate and entertain the thought that's contrary to the decision that we made. And there's no way you can have an emotion without having a thought. You can't have a thought of fear. You can't have an emotion of fear without thinking fear-based thoughts. So once you make a decision, you cannot entertain, I didn't make a right decision. Well, what would a Sally have done? Well, who cares what Sally did? I made the decision. You follow me? You have to talk your way past entertaining. And guys, the entertaining will come with one sentence. It's like, hey, have you ever thought about? Matter of fact, you've been wrong in the past when you thought you heard from God. You follow me? Okay. All right. That's how that works. You can't entertain it. All right. So you guys got number four. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Will?
Yeah. About this, in terms of things getting in between, I think sometimes distractions, the devil gets in between. Okay. Just say, for example, Megan and I have a budget conversation, you know, at 6 o'clock on Sundays to get ready for the week. So say there's a game on or something like that, there's distractions, but we just need to make that decision and stay away from the issue and go toward it.
Amen.
So
start having the budget. If the game starts at 6, do your budget at 5. Okay, everybody got it? Make a decision. Then we got to find a promise. Now that we made a decision that we were going to buy the house, now we have to make it that we made the decision. Now we got to find a promise that we're going to stand on. Everybody understand a promise? How many of you all ever told your mom, you told me? Remember, she's perfect at that. I think that was her first words was, remember you told me. It wasn't mama or daddy. It was, remember you told me. Chris, you had a hand? All right, so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, it says, so let's do it. Full of belief, Jamal, confident that we're presentable inside and out, let's keep a firm grip on the promises. A perfect song that Sharon was singing this morning about the promises. Don't go by how you feel. Don't go by what you see. He always keeps his word. That's why we can hold on to his promises, because he always keeps his word. He always is going to do what he said he was going to do. So, you know, again, guys, Nike didn't come up with just do it. It came from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. So let's do it. So what is it that you need to go ahead and do? I'm asking, that's a mic question. What is it that you need to go ahead and do?
I have to go ahead and talk with my supervisor to see if it's possible to move my position.
Okay. All right. And because we love Michelle so much, y'all ready? Y'all know your pastor always set you up. I'm sneaking in, Nicole. Monty, I'm going in. So you have until next Friday to get that done, Michelle.
Next Friday?
Yeah, you know, like the you know, you got Friday coming, then you got Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've been contemplating that for over a year now. Okay? Somebody said more. Jazz said more than that. So you think that's a fair enough assessment? So after a year and a week, you got it? So is everybody going to be waiting on that report? Janae coming to church next Sunday, just so that she can see that. All right? So just do it. Full of belief, Michelle. Confident that you are presentable inside and out. You know that God's on the inside. You know you do your job well enough that she'll say yes. And let's keep a firm grip on the promises. So right here now, the Bible says if two or three agree is touching anything, there he is to see to it that it happens. So would y'all mind turning around and facing Michelle? Stretch out your hand toward her. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in your word, if two or three agree is touching anything, there you are to see to it that it manifests. So we have more than two or three. So we thank you in advance, Father, for boldness, for confidence, for righteousness to come up bold on the inside of Michelle. Her supervisor waiting on her to come. Right now, even while we're praying, the ministering spirits are going out and talking to the supervisor and telling her, Michelle has something she wants to share. Michelle has something that she wants to share. And the answer is yes. And we thank you, Father, in advance that Michelle will walk in her boldness. She won't be scooped over. She'll be tall and strong because that's the way that you have designed her to be. And we bind that spirit of fear that keeps trying to say, don't ask, don't ask, don't ask. But we loosen the spirit of power, boldness, and your anointing that says that this is rightfully mine. And all in agreement say, So she'll practice that thing. Practice walking in the office. Hey. What's up? Practice walking in the office. Come on. Come on up here. Practice. Don't be walking like this. Practice.
Okay.
We never seen that like it before, have you? Nope.
All right. Cool thing is, she's in Roanoke.
She's in Roanoke.
So I'm going to have to call her.
Call her on the phone.
So I'm going to have to.
But walk in your office. Hey.
Hey.
Who got a phone? I know y'all got a phone. Give her a phone. You calling her.
Let's not. Let's not call her now on a Sunday morning. No. Hey, how you doing? It's Michelle. How you doing? You know, it's me, so I've got a question. You're aware that my son is graduating high school, and he is thinking about going to VCU, and you're aware of my commute and how I'd like to reduce that. I was wondering, is there any reason why I could not move my position from Virginia Beach to Richmond, since now I am a group employee and not a civil employee? Is there any reason why we wouldn't be able to do that?
Y'all give a hand clap? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. I only, Jeff Michelle, I want you to focus more on your productivity at work and less on your son. Because the jobs don't care about your son. We care about Chris. Everybody say Chris? Yeah. We care about Chris. So focus more on the fact that you know about my product, my production, how efficient I am, how once I focused for months without a supervisor, I got every job done, so forth and so on. So focus on the move for the company more so than the move for yourself. You follow me? Yeah, because they don't care about your family. Yeah, yeah. So, but this is a technique that I learned from Curly, is when she's talking to people, she get in the mirror. You get in the mirror so you can see your face. You know, you see boldness. Yeah, who got a mirror? You get in the face. It's, and they're like, what is the pastor talking about? But anyway, so you need to see what you look like. Because some of you know, you might be thinking you like way up here. And you like, well, I just wanted to know. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's awesome. But I think it would be better if instead of saying, is there any reason why I can't? How about just, what is the possibility that I can?
Okay.
So take the negative spin out.
Okay.
Because if you're asking for reasons why you can't, she might come up with one.
Okay. All right. Okay. I got one here. Yes, ma'am. She like, over here.
Yes, I've been patient.
Thank you,
Jasmine. One thing I learned with my special supervisor, she's a lovely lady.
Okay.
If I give her a warning ahead of time, then she's more prepared. So if I send her an email and say, do you have a quick minute? Okay. Or if I do call her, I say, do you have a second to talk? Instead of just going in.
Okay, that's good.
But my question before that scenario was, what do you do when you're trying to you're trying to go forth with your decision and apply for what you need to apply for. Then all of a sudden you get sleepy, then you get hungry, then everybody and their mama want to call you. Like, how do you get it done?
Okay. All right, so you remove yourself from those distractions. So you don't answer your phone, don't answer the door, just remove yourself from the distractions. You make a decision. See, some people use distractions as a way not to make a decision. You follow me? Who said, Okay. So I'm going to make this decision within the next 15 minutes or the next half an hour, and I'm going to remove myself from any distractions. Somebody else hit the hand up. Okay. All right. You straight, Father? Okay. All right. So we said make a decision. Now you got to find a promise.
So you find a promise in the Bible.
Find a promise. Uh-huh.
Right? You got your scripture.
Okay.
You see that it's happened for somebody else in the Bible, So you know it can happen for you.
Amen.
But then when you... That's on Sunday.
Okay.
Because you hype on Sunday.
Okay, you hype on Sunday.
By like Monday evening, you all right. You can say it again. Right. But like Tuesday, Wednesday, it's like, why am I even going through these changes? Okay. This is going to happen.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And then to see it like makes you angry because you're like, should I put this effort into rehearsing this promise? What if it doesn't happen?
Okay, all right, I got you. Thank you, Nicole. All right, so in a moment, I want y'all to trust y'all pastor. Y'all ready? Your man said, you ready? This promise that you're believing for, you got a choice. Either you can breathe or you can live in the promise. I want you to hold your breath until you can't hold it no more. And eventually, if your air run out, you got to breathe, right? That promise is so real that your life depended on it. If you believe something so much that your life depended on it, then you would make sure that you believe that scripture with everything that you got. Your life depends on it. You follow me? So when that scripture becomes that real, come Sunday, come Monday, come Tuesday, it doesn't fade because your life depended on it. Follow me? You're not still holding your breath, are you? But no, I'm just joking. That's how you walk in victory. You can't entertain the thought. So, yes, are we? And see, Nicole, this is the secret. The secret is he knew we couldn't do it by ourselves. So that's why he gave us grace, which is God's empowerment. It's him doing it through us, but we got to go to him every single time. When Monday comes and the scripture doesn't look as real as it did on Sunday, you just talk to your father about it. Father, you know, this doesn't look good on Sunday when I was here with everybody, but here it is Monday and it looks a little different. So help me. I'm going to hold on to your word, but can you hold me while I'm holding on to your word? You got to go there, guys. Amen? Oh, y'all help me out because that was the anointing. Y'all weren't paying attention, right? Yeah, will you hold me while I'm holding on to the word? You got to do it, man. When Jazz had a seizure and she stopped breathing and she turned blue, I knew that God's word would cause her to breathe. We did not have time to call the ambulance. She was turning blue. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to breathe. And Jazz goes, that wasn't a time for me to decide, well, is this real? Will it work? Either I believe what I said over Jazz or she wouldn't be here today.
I just wanted to say that I can relate to that because about a month or so ago, I was talking to Reverend Johnson about it. A facilitator role came up on my job. Uh-huh. And it was actually an opening that was created because the current facilitator, he resigned.
Okay.
So I went to the site executive and expressed my interest in taking that role on. And he told me, he said, well, Dale, you already have a lot on your plate. You know, I like to give other people an opportunity to, for they can advance some too. I said, okay, I'm good with that. I came home and I told Madeline about it. So I was okay. I was good.
Okay.
2 weeks later, he's in the U.K. I'm walking through the office. My boss stops me and says, Lauren, the site executive name is Lauren. He said, Lauren wants you to give him a call. I said, okay, where is he? He said, he's in the U.K. He said, here's his number. So I get on the phone, go to a conference and call him. I said, hey, Lauren, how you doing? He said, yeah, I'm thinking about that thing. Mm-hmm. He said, you still want to take that facility role? Uh-huh. Sure, why not? Because I knew there was something that I wanted to do to help myself. So sometimes if you know something is for you, just stand and believe it is for you, and it'll happen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So you got to have a promise, guys. When I walk in here on Sunday and I don't see, he's told me 400 men, because he knew that men would bring women. Y'all follow me? So I don't see the seats that's right here. I see the next facility, because in order to have 400 men, we know we're going to have a lot of women, going to have children, all that type of thing. So I hold on to promise. That's 1 Samuel. That's how he called me in the ministry. So I don't allow myself to see what I see. I see what he told me. That was 5 years ago. You follow me? For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. That's what the word is. It's quick. It's living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So whatever it has to cut in order to bring the promise to you, it will cut it so that the promise can manifest. You follow me? Nothing gets in the way of that but us. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. So, Nicole, that's what's going to cut out the unbelief, is the word will sever the unbelief part, so that all that's remaining is the believing part. You follow me? And the completeness of a person and both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature. His word goes to the deepest part of our nature. His word goes to the core of the issue and not just the top of the issue. It goes all the way down, all the way to where, that's why in manifestation, when I'm doing counseling, I have all these techniques. But if I introduce you to God's unconditional love, you are walking out healed. Because he goes to the point of inception of where that nature is, where the deepest part of that pain is, exposing and judging the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. So let me show you what he showed me about divorce. And guys, if you divorce, if you separated, That's between you and God. No condemnation, no guilt. But let me show you why it's so painful. Can I have a piece of paper that somebody don't mind me ripping? And this is, I need one bigger than that. Okay, thank you. So I said, Father, why is divorce? Why is divorce so painful? Jamal, let me have that other piece of here. Because people see, hold it, Wayne. People see divorce like this. See, anybody can rip that, right? Try ripping that. Try ripping that. You see it? Try ripping that. But his word is the only, Jazz trying to figure it out. But Dad, you know, that's the can do woman. Well, you know, there ought to be some kind of way that I do that. That's why she's doing like this. But his word can divide that. So his word knows where doubt is, and it knows where faith is. And he can separate, go in between that to make sure that you come out in victory. You got me? Wayne, you thinking you good? Okay, might come your way.
So what you were just talking about, sometimes the issue is not really the issue. The issue is something deeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So a lot of what we're hearing here right now, that's the issue, is fear. We can cover it up. That's why I asked you all to ask the Holy Spirit, because we're going to come up with our answer. Well, Lord, it's just, yeah, he knows what it is. Okay? All right? Find a promise. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation. Anybody ever got a confirmation letter that you got hired on position? Jazz, you got one? Reverend Anderson got one, Nicole, who else? Okay. So you guys showed up just receiving a confirmation letter. Just so now faith is the substance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. So you showed up for a job just based off a letter that they gave you, made plans to even resign your current position. But can we believe God's word is even surer than that? The evidence of things not seen? The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as a fact. You knew as a fact, based off that letter, that you had the position. Enough where you resigned your other positions. You follow me? So how much more should we believe God's word? In Mark chapter 11, verse 23-24. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain. So before you come out with, oh, I can't move a mountain. The mountain is the situation that you are facing. If it's debt, that's your mountain. If it's sickness, that's your mountain. Follow me? Be removed and be cast into the sea. You tell the problem where you want it to go. And does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done. He will have whatsoever he says. So you have to believe that what you're saying is coming to pass. Or believing has already come to pass. So you speak to the situation. When I spoke to the situation pertaining to Jazz turning blue, I spoke to her, and I commanded her to breathe, and it had to obey me. So that was her not breathing was the mountain. Telling her to breathe was the removing of the mountain. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. This is prayer, and this is confession. This is what you're saying to things that come to pass. And this is how you pray about things. So that's two types of, so you can confess something, and then you can also pray something. So that's two types of ways that you can interact with God. Yes, sir.
Can you repeat that? Which one is which?
So number 24 is prayer. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's prayer. Number 23 is confession. Like you hear, say, a financial confession, or you get up in the morning and you have your confession. Okay, so number 23 is a confession. Both of them work. One is prayer and one is a confession. I tell my mind what to think, my body what to do. I'm a master of my emotions. I'm a person of immediate action. I'm steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These goals are my passion. I pursue them with enthusiasm and unrelentless determination. I came to win. That's a confession. That's what I pray, confess every morning when I take a shower, despite Jazz thinking that I don't take showers. But, all right. Now, let me show y'all. This was Curly and I, Nicole, This was Curly's and I promise. This was the promise that we found, that we stood on to get our house in 1990. When, remember what the obstacles were or the challenges were that we listed about debt, about double payments, about utilities? So just as the Lord your God promised your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will give you a land with large and prosperous cities, which you did not build. This is what we stood on. The houses will be full of good things, which you did not put in them. And there will be wells, provision, that you did not dig, vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. So this is what we stood on in order to walk into our house. We had to find a promise. Okay? Amen? Everybody got it? So you need to find a promise for the issue that you have written down that the Holy Spirit revealed to you. Because that promise never changes. Who changes? We do. Do our behavior change? Do our thoughts change? But the promise never changed. Because God says he will bring his word to pass. Amen? Any questions? So on Thursday night, we'll pick up on number 6. Okay? All right. Any other questions? So I'm going to ask you, what's your takeaway? What stood out to you today? I got 3 minutes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do different between now and Thursday? Other than Michelle, we know what she's going to do between now. Curly, you missed it. I know you was over at Children's Church, but Michelle brought up something about she wants to ask her supervisor, can she move and come to Richmond? And so the congregation, along with the leading of their pastor, all turn and put our hands towards her in agreement that she has till this Friday to ask that. Because we've been hearing that for a while, correct? Okay, there we go. All right. Yes, ma'am.
God, I'm going to process my emotions, and after 18 minutes, I'm done.
Okay, there you go. All right. And don't go back. You be giving ready to give your testimony in 2 weeks?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I heard about you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right. That was a good thing.
Okay.
One thing that I'm going to do is find a promise. I'm sorry. One thing I'm going to do is find a promise and make it to the point where it's life or death.
That's exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it's almost like breathing. Yeah. I really like that. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I'm going to do this week. I like that.
Okay. Amen. Got Nicole over here.
Asking God to hold me while I hold on to his promise.
You going to do it? Yes, sir, Mr. Wheel?
Once you make a decision, don't go back to the issue.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. You got that on Facebook Live? Were you able to get that? Yeah.
It's a promise to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just ask. Y'all ready? Just ask. You started. I got 1 minute. Y'all repeat after me. Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Will you show me the promise that you want me to stand on for my specific issue? I receive it now. In Jesus' name. See how easy that is? There you go.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, visit Pastor Paul for Sunday services at 11 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries, located at 5511 West Marshall Street, Richmond, Virginia, 23230. The telephone number is 866-333-9505. Or visit the website www.paulmorgan.org.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.